With that, I'm going to invite Luke here. Luke is a a college student. He joined us about a month ago. Go ahead. Yeah, you're good. Month and a half ago, something like that, and started coming. And man, he's been a joy to be around and excited. And so we've had conversations here and there and just talking about different things of growing up and church background and all those sorts of deals. And we had a good conversation immediately following revival, and then Easter Sunday wanted to come by and visit. So we sat down and talked about a few things, and then we just kind of got right to it in my office and talked to him about where he's at with the Lord and his relationship with the Lord. And he just, at that time, wasn't sure. Wasn't sure about his relationship with the Lord, but after talking a little bit and visiting, and man, he said he was ready to give his heart to Jesus. And so there in my office a couple weeks ago, we knelt there at the couch in my office and just prayed. And man, it's exciting. He came out immediately following. Always encourage people, man, after you give your heart to Jesus, it's normal for Christians to tell other people about that. And so we went outside and found Pastor Jonathan, and I'm sure Jonathan remembers, I won't soon forget, but came out and Jonathan walked up to him, and so Luke said, man, hey, I just got saved. And so there was zeal and excitement, there ought to be. Man, it's an incredible decision. And so we're excited this morning to get to baptize Luke and looking forward to that. So Luke, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be Lord, Master, Savior of your life. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, it's by that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him in baptism into death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Well, amen. Who's next? Water's warm. Water's fine. Come on in, right? So, anyway, man, it is so. This is so important. We as Baptists, this is one of our distinctives, that we believe that baptism by immersion is what pictures the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It pictures what happens inside, or what happens to us spiritually, but it pictures what Jesus has done on our behalf. And so we believe it's that first crucial step to, once you've given your heart and life to Jesus, to take that step and follow and be obedient in believer's baptism. And so, and if you've recently been saved, or maybe it's been a while and you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I want to urge you to take that step, be obedient to him, and let's talk about that and make a plan for that, okay? Well, let me pray for us, and then we're going to have a time of worship. Lord, you're good and gracious and kind, and thank you for today. God, thank you for Luke's life and testimony. Thank you, God, for drawing him to yourself. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that all that we say and do today would bring honor and glory to your name. And God, I pray that we would sing unto you. God, that you be glorified. I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. God, I pray that you'd save the lost and restore those who are far from you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand as we sing Days of Elijah?
Moses, righteousness, healing, restore. And though
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh.
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This morning I want to preach to you on the Great Commission. Singing this morning and just a moment ago, there will be a day. It's been said of Paul that Paul lived for 2 days. He lived for today and he lived for that day. The day in which every one of us will appear before the Lord Himself. And some will appear and it will be a day of judgment. A day in which there will be a reckoning. There'll be a settling of accounts, and unfortunately, all those without Christ will come up short. Because salvation doesn't work that you do more good than bad, you're a better person than you're not, to earn our way into heaven. Because if that had been the case, Jesus would not have needed to come. But He needed to come because we couldn't earn our salvation. Like Paul said in Ephesians, it's by grace through faith that you're saved, not of ourselves, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because if we could earn it, then we could boast, man, look how good I am. So some will appear before the Lord and found wanting, found empty, found short. And then those who have bowed their knee and repented and placed their faith and trust in Jesus will join in the choir of heaven. Will join in with all the nation, tribes, and tongues. And we will declare, holy is the Lord. because he was slain and he was resurrected and he conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. That is the gospel message. That is the messages in which we have been left to declare. This morning I want to preach to you on the Great Commission. We're going to read in just a moment Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. Very familiar passage. And I know in some ways it may be as familiar of a passage as I've preached in a long time. You probably can't count the number of times and on your hand that if you've been walking with the Lord very long, maybe how many sermons you've heard on the Great Commission or whatever the case may be. And to be honest with you, for those of you who've been walking with the Lord, I don't know there'll be anything new that you haven't heard. But my hope and my prayer is that God would stir our heart. Recently, there was research that came out from Lifeway studying different things, but one particular fact that came out of that, one particular finding that came out of that that I found particularly interesting. I want to read you the statistic, and then I want to read you a quote from Henry Blackaby. If you remember Experiencing God, that's when most people are familiar with him. Here's what Lifeway found in a recent study. In the year 2000, the median worship attendance in the USA was 137. The median attendance in a church in the United States of America was 137. Their recent study found that today it's 65. It's more than a 50% decline in 22, 23 years. Henry Blackaby said this. He said, "One of the greatest deceptions many dying churches believe is that they don't need to make any significant changes. They just need a pastor to help them continuing doing what they've always done." Dear friends, if we don't figure out the importance of this message and us declaring the message of Jesus, the gospel message, and we don't take the Great Commission really seriously, us and a whole host of churches around our nation are in serious danger. And so, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The perfect, infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Let me pray. Jesus, I pray that you would take your word, and God, that it would pierce to the asunder of our soul. God, I pray that it would grip us. I pray for those that don't know you, God, that they would see their need for you. They would repent and believe. Pray for those of us that do know you, God, I pray you would break our heart over lostness. Lord Jesus, give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The main idea of the text is this: God gave our church a great commission to live out. God gave our church a great commission to live out. So then the question is this, is how are you impacting the fulfillment of the Great Commission? How are you a part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Now I want us to be really intentional this morning and really mindful this morning. I realize that we have a whole host of range of ages and demographic, all those sorts of things, and our involvement, even though we're a part of one body, looks differently, and it looks differently in different stages of life. I'm fully aware of that, but I would just challenge you as you hear the Word of God this morning. My question is it's unequivocal that Jesus has left us with this great commission. And He's not just left it to us as individual Lone Ranger Christians, but He's left it to us as a local church to fulfill that. If you don't believe me, go read the book of Acts. The way that the gospel spread was by the group being sent out, sharing the gospel, the establishment of churches, and then churches planting churches and churches furthering the gospel. That's what the book of Acts is about. And so you and I are here today because somebody believed the gospel and a church planted a church that planted a church. And that those churches were full of individuals, or at least had individuals that believed the gospel enough that they invited their neighbor, their coworker, their family. That they shared the gospel. They talked to people about what it means to be saved. And so this morning I want to ask you at this point where you're at right now in your stage of life. How is it that you are impacting and helping to fulfill the Great Commission? So there's three truths I want us to see this morning. Number one, we have a commander. We have a commander. There's one commander in chief, and it's unequivocally who he is. And so look at the text with me. If you remember Matthew and then just this writing of pointing toward the Jews, but we have this great commission. Nearly every one of the Gospels in the book of Acts, and it's all throughout Jesus' life and ministry, His mission, His purpose. This morning reading Luke 19:10, in my own quiet time, Jesus did not come to serve, but be served. But He goes on, Luke 19:10 says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so that was the mission and the purpose. Luke 4, Jesus quotes Isaiah and talking about the fulfillment of why He has come. His life and ministry is littered with this same message that we are to go and tell lost and dying world about Him. And so Matthew 28 begins with the resurrection, and they go and they find the tomb is empty. We talked last week about the two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus and how we can be so close yet so far away, how we can miss the presence of God. And then it seems like in His final spiel, His final teaching, this is the Great Commission. This is what He gives. May we hold on to those last words we have from our loved ones. We hold on to those final moments, thinking whatever breath, whatever they have left to communicate, this is of the utmost importance. And that's what Jesus leaves us with. And so listen to what He says in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." What is Jesus declaring here? He's declaring a couple things. First of all, the obvious is that all authority, man, it's not limited to some authority, it's not partial authority, but rather He has total, final authority, not just on earth, but in heaven. And in declaring this, the only way for anybody to have all authority on earth and in heaven is to be the Son of God and to be God Himself. That's the only way that Jesus can declare this. So for those that want to argue and say that Jesus never claimed to be God, then they just not have read and studied very much, because there's all sorts of places where Jesus does, and this is one of those places. The only way for Him to declare that He's got all the authority and all the power is for Him to know and declare full well that He is God in the flesh. And He's in this resurrected body. He has now conquered death, hell, and the grave by raising from the dead. And so He's declaring to the disciples, as He gives them this mission, "I want you to be very clear that they have a commander in chief. There's nobody else in charge. There's nobody else on the throne. There's no election process. There's no appointment. But rather, Jesus is on the throne today." Amen. He is alive and He is well. And before He gives them their marching orders, you ever work for a company or work from somewhere and, man, sometimes it's confusing about exactly who's in charge? That one person gives you some directions and then another person comes along and they give you some directions. And sometimes there's just this confusion about, Man, I don't know. Before any orders are given, Jesus is making it real clear. There's not one, but one in charge. There's not one, but one that is to be obeyed. And it is the Lord Jesus Himself. And so we have a commander. This echoes the language of Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. It says, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. Then to Him He was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Dear friend, this is the one that we serve. I realize our nation is in absolute turmoil. And I realize you may be in relationships, or you may be in an employment situation. We live in an economy that is just upside down at best, and we look across the world and there's wars and rumors of wars, and it's difficult to think what's going to happen, what lies ahead. But dear friend, can I remind you, there is one on the throne who has all authority in heaven and on earth. And we have a commander that can be trusted. There is one in charge. And those of us that have surrendered our heart and life to Jesus, we're on His team. Let me remind you, He's not on your side, you're on His. He's got the side. You don't have one. And so He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Ephesians 1, 20 through 22 says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand, a position of authority. Listen to what He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Let me remind you this morning, listen, I am not in charge. Pastor Jonathan is not in charge. Pastor Howard, man, the deacons, whatever committee or team, listen, there is one head to the local church. There is one head to Second Baptist Church, and it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, I'm called to be an under-shepherd, but an under-shepherd under the authority of the Lord Jesus. He has called me to lead, called us to lead and to serve. But He says He put all things of the church under Him. He is the head. And so I want to remind you this morning that if you have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you have a commander. Number two, we have a commission. You may write it this way. You've been given marching orders. You've been given an assignment. And so look at verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And now listen, I'm probably about to get a little bit in your Kool-Aid, okay? So I love you in Jesus' name, all right? So let's walk through this. Man, there's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of thoughts about this. And in the effort to sound really smart or really clever, there's been some teaching about the Great Commission. And man, there's been some straining at gnats and swallowing of camels, okay? So let's look at this together. And so it begins with, go therefore, make disciples. And man, there's been a lot of emphasis made about that this isn't an imperative, it's a participle. And then a participle doesn't give as specific of direction, but the problem with that is, without boring you with all the technicalities of it, the problem with that is that Matthew uses this language a lot of times in his book, and it always has the idea of giving direction. Okay, and so, man, we get caught up on these small, minute things. Let me tell you what he's saying here. Let me tell you, okay, you ready? He means go. As you're going, while you're going, as you go, when you go, go. That's the idea that's here. We don't have to make it real hard, okay? It's real plain, all right? Had a mentor tell me, man, when the scripture makes plain sense, don't try to make any other sense of it. Amen. So he says, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's the idea. That's the thrust. He's saying, yes, man, the idea is you're living life. As you're going to work and you're going out to check your mail and you're going to the grocery store, that's the idea, as you're going and go. But it's also a directive in terms of go. Man, we need to go on mission trips. We need to go engage the world. How do we know that? Man, listen, it's the idea here, but also Mark 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's pretty clear. That, listen, as we are going, we're going into the world, but also we need to plan trips. We need to be intentional. We need to go on mission trips. We need to look to where we can engage with the gospel. We need to send missionaries as a part of our mission sending agencies, the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board. And when we can't go, we need to pray for them. And when we pray for them, as we have opportunity, we need to give and support them. Why? Because Jesus, our commander, we've all agreed we have one person in authority, and he has said for us to go. And so it is as you are going. And I realize there's some maybe at a stage in life where they can't jump on a plane and fly 10 or 12 hours to Ghana, Africa. Fully understand that. But listen, we can go right where we are. We can engage right where we are. And that mission and that order comes from the same text, and it's equally as important. But he also said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That we need to go. Acts 1:8. The power of the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe the idea there is because where it was given was at Jerusalem. Going, you need to be a witness right here at home. You need to get outside your walls a little bit. Then when you get outside, you need to go a little bit further. And you need to go a little bit further. And if you read the book of Acts, man, the disciples weren't very good at doing this. And so what happened is God allowed persecution to come along. And then all of a sudden, persecution showed up. And the Bible says that the disciples, they scattered. And you know what? It's the commander-in-chief saying, hey, if you won't go on your own volition, I'll make it happen. Why? Because all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. Man, if you somehow think that you are at 1100 North Frankfort Avenue by accident, or you're at whatever your address is by accident, you're kidding yourself. God has placed you there, and the reason he has placed you there, let me tell you, the singular most important reason he has placed you there is so that you can be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Hey, the job is great. The degree is wonderful. Man, the friends and the neighbors may be a blessing, and being next to grandkids is an incredible opportunity. But the single reason why you are where you are at is because God has intended for you to use your position and your opportunity to go and tell a lost and dying world that they don't have to go to hell. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So listen, okay, where do you get the evangelism part? Listen to this, okay? Here's the deal. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of teaching about disciples and making disciples and all this sort of thing. And man, there's been a lot of things. There's a lot of quippy sayings that make good bumper stickers or good tags in a bio or whatever it is. But it's things like this. Well, God told you to go and make disciples, not converts. God told you, man, it's not about praying a prayer, it's about being a disciple, and all these quippy sayings. And to a degree, I understand what they're doing, but let me tell you this. We are belittling and making more out of this than what Jesus intended in terms with the term disciple, okay? Because here's the reality. For a person to be a disciple, listen to what it says. It says, go therefore and make disciples. What our culture and language wants to say is that's not just, man, somebody repenting of their sins and placing their faith and trust in Jesus. It's somehow a part of this process where they're walking alongside and somebody's pouring into them and teaching them. And listen, I'm not saying those things are bad, but let me tell you this. If go and make disciples, if that doesn't include evangelism, then evangelism is not in the Great Commission. Listen to it again. If Jesus doesn't mean win people to Jesus right here, then evangelism is not a part of the Great Commission. Listen to what it says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Right there in verse 20 is what we now talk about as making a disciple. We are taking somebody that has become a Christian and teaching them, walking alongside them. That's what we now describe as making disciples. That's an important part. It's a part of the mission, the Great Commission that He has left us with. But that is not all He has left us with. Part of the Great Commission is make disciples. That is to win men, women, boys, and girls unto Jesus. That's evangelism. That's telling a lost and dying world that Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you, Jesus wants to save you. You and I don't have the luxury to go, well, you know, preacher, I just don't have the gift of evangelism. You know, it's not really my thing. I'm not comfortable. I'm going to stand right here behind this. Dear friend, evangelism is not a gift. It's a command. When Jesus called His disciples to Himself, He said, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's evangelism. Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's evangelism. Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto Me. That's evangelism. Friends, if the church foregoes evangelism, we are going to continue to lose generation after generation after generation. If we ever think or believe that it's not the job of me or the responsibility of me as a believer to do evangelism, that's what we pay our staff to do, we're in a terrible position. It is the commission. It is the responsibility for every born-again believer to tell others what Jesus has done and how they can know Him. He says, go therefore and make disciples. When does an individual become a disciple? When they repent and believe. Now, what we talk about discipleship, I lead a D group. I lead a discipleship group. We tend to think about making disciples as this long process of growing into maturity in Christ. That is important, but that's not making a disciple. Making a disciple is winning somebody to Jesus. It's telling them what our sin does and how it separates us from God and how we can know Him. And we repent and believe. And the moment we believe on Him, we become a disciple. That's why here, look at this. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Here's the process is that we are to go, and by the way, it says all nations. And we don't have the privilege to look around and go, man, I'm not really going there. I'm not worried about that place. And it's foolish to think that, well, we don't need to cross the pond. You hear some people, this sounds really spiritual. Man, we're not going to cross the pond, or we're not going to cross state lines, or we're not going to go to the West Coast or the East Coast or Northeast, wherever it is, until we win. Man, we got to be responsible here. Yes, we need to be responsible here. But I'm telling you, dear friend, to think that you're going to win every person in Russellville to faith in Christ, then you'll go out and go somewhere else is foolish. That's not going to happen. He's told us to go. To be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He's told us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We need to be responsible right here at home. This is why in the coming weeks we're going to plan to be more intentional about a door-to-door process and sharing the gospel. But we need to be door-to-door right here and going to the nations in as many opportunities as we can. I'll amen myself. Amen. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By the way, making disciples is distinct from baptism. You become a disciple when you repent and place your faith and trust in Christ. That disciple then is baptized. It's the natural process of what we saw this morning. Individual repents, place their faith and trust in Christ. They are saved that day. Then they are baptized. Doesn't have to be some long period. Most of the time in the New Testament, you see it almost immediate. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. This is where we are to come alongside people and help teach them and help grow them. This is why it's a part of even a time like this where it's teaching. This is a different scale, but this is, in some way, this is a part of that, what we describe as discipleship process. This idea of teaching, that teaching you what the Word of God says and how it applies to our life. This is why it's important for our Sunday school time for you to come and be in fellowship with other believers. And the majority of our time, yes, we ought to talk and visit and catch up on life, and we ought to share prayer requests, but the majority of the time ought to consist of us talking and applying the Word of God to our lives. Teaching them all things I have commanded you. This is why it's important. Even I've been doing something like a D group that I'm leading. I've got four men that walking with, just sharing some truth about life so that we can grow and become more and more like Christ. This is the Great Commission. It sounds really spiritual at times as we try to highlight one aspect above the other. But I'm telling you, friend, that Jesus has left us clear marching orders. The Bible says that he who wins souls is wise. Friends, we need to have times where, man, we're sitting around as fellow believers and, man, we're chewing on and wrestling and all that kind of thing with the Scripture and growing in fellowship. Time where we're together and hanging out and man, just applying the Word of God to our life. Time where we're worshiping. But we need to have intentional time where we are seeking to win the lost. Intentional time with why. Hey, listen, it's a shameless commercial. This is why I'm convinced that the time is now for us to go to Africa. I've never been anywhere where people are more open to hear the gospel than going into those villages of what I saw last year. And friend, I want to be a part of things that is going to win people to Jesus. And I believe our church ought to need to be a part of those things. And you know what? And sometimes that means, it means different things at different times. And it's an incredible opportunity. And there are times to go other places where, man, the door doesn't seem quite as open. And it is harder, but it doesn't mean we avoid the hard work. It doesn't mean that we don't have to go. And man, the ground's a little harder to till. And it takes a little more intentionality, it takes a little bit more time. Both are needed. Why? Because he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. There's opportunities. As we, as a church family, lay out ministry opportunities and specifically mission trip and outreach opportunities, I promise you, it is with intentionality. Man, there's opportunities for us to go door to door. Yes, some of that is so, a big part of that is to being part of being obedient to the Great Commission. Also, part of it is so that some folks who maybe aren't quite as comfortable can go and learn and watch. And, man, that way the next time they have an opportunity, they can be faithful and obedient in that. It's one of the reasons we go to Memphis is I don't know of any greater opportunity for you to learn to share the gospel and have more opportunities than that time. And just telling you, God has left us. We have a commander-in-chief that has left us with marching orders. And Peter said to them, Acts 2:38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's called us to believe on him and be baptized. I don't have time to deal with all this text, but the idea of Acts 2:38, repent therefore and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. What he's saying here, this is how it reads more literally, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that it may be demonstrated that you've experienced remission of sins. That's the idea that's there. So it's not I got to be baptized to get forgiveness of sins, but I am baptized because I have been forgiven of my sins. Does that make sense? And so we have a commander, we have a commission. Number three, we have company. We have company. Verse 20. First half we dealt with teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And then here's the promise. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the promise. You can be sure when you're seeking to be obedient to the Great Commission that the presence of God is with you. Let me say it again. You can be sure that when you're seeking to be obedient to the Great Commission, the presence of God is with you. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Means until Jesus returns, as you're obedient, sharing the gospel, talking to men, women, boys, and girls about what it means to be saved, to be obedient in baptism, to teach them what God has taught us, that they may be more mature in Christ, so we can be sure that the presence of God is there. Friend, there are some days we struggle, times that we have difficulty of knowing, man, is God within 100 miles of us? And I want to encourage you, if you'll be faithful to the Great Commission, you can be confident that the presence of God is on you, because it's what He's called us to do. You'll never be more positive, never more in the will of God than when you're sharing the gospel and teaching others what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Last week we had some friendly visits set up. We've been walking through. We went through the three circles and how to share the gospel, and we set up what we called some friendly visits. And so we called a few folks and said, hey, we're going to send a team by your house and they're going to practice. They're going to practice sharing the gospel, talking to you and all that sort of thing. It's, for those of you that went through Evangelism Explosion, maybe back in the day, it was like one of those. They called them friendly visits. And so we set those up. And so went to a couple different places, and one of the places, and he'll probably fuss at me later, but went by Jim and Miss Mary's, and just shared with them, and just visiting there, and my heart was encouraged and challenged, because I heard Brother Jim rattle off virtually every neighbor around him and the conversation that he had had with them, either sharing the gospel or inviting them to church at minimum. And he had already noticed somebody new had moved in recently, and he asked for some cards, and he told me his plan was to go see him. And I understand there's some of you immediately thinking, well, yeah, I hope so. He's a retired pastor. Well, I'll gently say he's not as young as he once was either. And his heart still burns to see people come to know Jesus. And I wish to God that my heart will burn like that when I'm his age, should the Lord tarry. And friend, I want to tell you this. I know not everybody can get on a plane and cross the ocean. Not everybody can get in a car and drive hours. But most of us can cross the street or call somebody. And most of us can beg God to send more laborers, to send more missionaries. And many of us
can give so that others can go. Dear friend, the Lord has left us with the Great Commission. There's a commander in chief that has left us with marching orders. And here's the beauty. Jesus has every right to sit on his throne, leaving us with marching orders, and say, y'all do it. But the same way that he lived his life, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. The commander in chief gave us marching orders and said, I'm not going to send you alone. I'll go with you. And so, friend, I want to encourage you. Look for opportunities over the next 7 days. Look for opportunities to pray for somebody. Look for opportunities to quickly share the gospel with them. Look for opportunities to invite them to church. Look for opportunities to be obedient to the one that left us the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and be sure that as you go this week, lo, I am with you always. You can't change what you did or did not do yesterday. You can't change what you did or did not do last week. But dear friend, by the grace of God, we can get on this altar and beg God, God, would you put a fire in my bones to be obedient to the Great Commission like I've never seen, I've never experienced. And then go and be a witness. And for some of you, it may be that you need to repent and place your faith and trust in Jesus. It may be that you need to begin there, give your heart to Jesus, and you too can be saved. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. God, I pray for anybody here who doesn't know you, God, I pray that you would save them. God, I pray you would convict them of sin, unrighteousness, and of judgment. I pray that they would repent and place their faith and trust in you. God, I pray you give them grace to call out on you for salvation. They pray right where they're at and ask you to save them and forgive them, be the boss of their life. And if that's you today, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today, then you just pray right where you're at. Pray and say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer in just a moment, I'm going to pray for us again. But if you prayed that right then, in just a moment, whenever I pray and say amen, I want to invite you to come forward and say, hey, Pastor, I pray and ask Jesus to save me today. It's the single most important decision you'll ever make. But then the second part of the invitation is when I get and finish praying in just a moment, it may be that God stirred your heart up this morning and there's somebody you need to pray for. There's a lost friend, lost family, grandson, granddaughter, whatever it may be, you need to come pray for them. Or it may be that, man, you're just struggling to tell people, talk to people, invite people. Praying, God, give me boldness. Put a fire in my bones. And be intentional with these next few moments. You come when I finish praying. Jesus, I pray that in these next few moments that we be obedient to you. God, if it's in need of salvation, I pray that God, folks would come. I pray, God, if it's stirring our heart over lostness, stirring our heart over needing to be more intentional about sharing the gospel, I pray we would do business with you. We'd be intentional with this time and not let us pass by. Lord Jesus, we just love you and we praise you. God, you be with us in these next few moments. Help us to focus on you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You made an attitude of prayer. God, dealing with your heart, and you want to come and pray, you come now. need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. You come. It's 2 weeks in a row. I'm done preaching early. I'm going to get my money back at some point, all right? So, hey, grateful that you've chosen to be here and looking forward to what the Lord has in for us in the days ahead. Reminder, no service, no evening activities tonight. Make plans to be with us on Wednesday. And then, next week, and just encourage you, hey, there's some invite cards in the back, and we've got more available if you want to use those. And there's tracks around to help talk to people about their faith and all that sort of thing. So if we can help you with any of that stuff, just make sure to let us know. We want to be a blessing to you and make that available to you, okay? Want to make a couple of announcements and just talk to you about a few things. First of all, we are going to take up our regular tithes and offerings in just a moment. Also, an opportunity to give towards Ghana. We're taking a team. There's four of us that are headed to Ghana It's quite expensive to go. It's about $3,600 per individual. I'm hoping that's all that it is. Airline tickets are astronomical right now. And so it may be that you're not able to go, but you're able to give. And so we would be grateful for whatever the Lord would lead you to give to help be a part going as we go, and opportunity for evangelism and see folks follow the Lord, plant churches, baptize, teach, all of those things. And so just pray about what the Lord would have you to give. And we are trying to purchase our airline tickets, and that's part of the reason why we're having an opportunity to give today. The envelopes have been out for a little bit, but big purchase this week, just trying to secure our airline tickets and all that kind of thing. So pray about what the Lord would have you to give, and grateful that you've chosen to give, and pray for us. That's most important. If you'd pray for us, it's myself, Steve and Sharon Overton, and Kelvin Whitlock that'll be going. So those are four, and we'll make sure you're aware of those and praying for us as we get ready for that trip. So we're partnering with another church. The pastor I went with last year out of Crescent Valley, they're taking seven, and so there'll be 11 of us going on this trip, Lord willing. And so anyway, those are some things to be aware of, and just thank you so much for that. I want to mention to you a couple of things that are happening this week. First of all, most of you are aware that George Lewis went home to be with the Lord this past week. He's battled cancer for quite some time. And so please be praying for Miss Carol and their family. The service will be at 10 a.m. on Tuesday at Shin Funeral Home. And then we will be feeding the family here following the service. And so just be praying for them. Be aware of those arrangements and details. You'll probably get an email just reminding everybody about those things. Be praying for them and that family. Also, on Thursday, Mr. Jim Smith, his granddaughter passed away. Daughter. I was thinking about your grandkids. Daughter passed away, and so we're having a memorial service for her here on Thursday at 10 a.m., and immediately after that, we will feed the family. And so a couple opportunities to serve these families by prayer, just in loving them, feeding them, and just trying to serve them in any way that we can. So be praying for those families, be praying that the Lord would minister to them in the midst of difficult, hard times, okay? And so, let's stand together, and we will pray and be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for the Great Commission and the challenge you've given us, the command you've given us. Help us to be obedient to it. Help us to be witnesses. Lord, give us boldness and grace. Pray that you burden our heart for lostness around us. Lord, I pray that you bless the tithes and offerings and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Behold, he comes riding on the clouds.